This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Welcome to Dilemmas with Jess Ellis. Now, I've got a special guest today. It is Harvey Verdi.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. So I first met you on the set of Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
And then some would say, still now I've heard on the grapevine that they're still blaming you for the death of Tegan.
Lots of people are blaming me for this. I have random people coming up to me going, yeah, but you killed Tegan. I'm like, oh.
I've got a bench as well, haven't I?
You have got a bench, and I sit on that bench quite a lot. Miss Bar sits on that bench quite a lot.
I'm so glad, because normally people, like, I saw my friend's mum the other day, and she's a big fan, and she was like, she's watched it for years. She was like, never have I heard someone that's died's name mentioned so much. And I'm like, yes. It's a year later, I've got a bench, and I'm still being mentioned.
I know, and Steve's still like, whoa, about it all.
Yeah, and I would just like to say, I was there that night, you put the pen in my side.
Yeah.
And I will say that you actually just tried to save me.
I just tried to save you. I couldn't help it if the pen was not sterile. What could I do? It was either that or let you die under the tree.
God, do you remember those night shoots?
Painful.
Mate.
I still feel your pain when the water went up your nose.
When they just, it was, what was it, like 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
It was running out of time, and they just went, line under the tree.
And you were on that incline. So, and your head, oh God.
I was basically being waterboarded.
Yeah, you were. She's not even lying.
it was horrific. And we were just soaking wet. And we had that. But like, I mean, what a way to go. That we could find the humour in it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, at 5 o'clock when you had your wetsuit on and you were dripping wet.
And we were still cold. Because it's that thing, isn't it? You've got your wetsuit on, you're going to be fine.
God, were we filming it this day? We must have been filming at this time.
Yeah.
Because have you heard about the story about what happened when we finished filming?
No.
So we finished filming and my mum rang me and said, listen, like, well done. You've had, like, it's been amazing. It's been horrific. You've been in the wet all the time.
Yeah.
I've just put, like, £100 in your bank. Why don't you and Michael go away this weekend?
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to Blackpool to the lights. Because, you know, I'm a classy girl.
Yeah.
Yep. Most people would be like, oh, they go for a nice meal. I was like, Blackpool, the lights, £30.
Yep.
So I was like, yes. Got my car packed. Got onto the motorway. My car started smoking. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? What's happening? It started juddering. I managed to pull off into like an Asda car park, and we had to call the AA, and then had to stand underneath a tree in the rain for 3 hours and never got to Blackpool. And I was like, right, this is art imitating life. Like, I've just lay under a tree in the rain. Someone said to me, well done, here's £100, you know, fill your boots with Blackpool. And I'm stood under a tree again in natural rain.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that.
Exactly.
That's like some sort of weird universe stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. Like sliding doors. I was becoming one. Yeah. The tree didn't fall on me and I'm still alive. So
thank the Lord.
So you've done loads of other stuff though.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that? How long have you been acting for?
About 25 years.
Oh my God.
I know, I am old.
No, you're not.
No, I'm, you know, in terms of earth years.
Yeah.
Not in my ears and ears.
No, I know that for sure, because me and you have definitely had some good parties together.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, I sort of forget how old I am, if that makes any sense.
No, but I feel like even, like, I'm 32.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm not claiming to be old, but I think that I'm about 24.
Yeah. See, I'm 53.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm about 38.
So you've stopped there?
Yeah, and I've been stopped there for quite a while.
Yeah, no, but I think that you do.
Because I still feel it. I still feel like, oh. And then every so often I have to kind of go, oh, no. No, I have hit the 50s. We're nearly in the mid-50s mark now.
I don't care. No.
It's absolutely fine. I never have given a shit. I've known people and friends who, when they had their 30th birthday and stuff, they were, you know, depressed or upset or didn't want to celebrate.
I think 30
is a marker,
it's a big
isn't
one,
it?
Like,
because
it
makes you think about life and what you're doing and where you're going.
And your biological clock and all
that
crap that comes with being a woman.
Of course, all of that. If you're single, do you want children? All of that. And I just thought, no, and I don't know. But I think when I hit my 40s, that's when I had a party, and then I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm a proper fucking grown up now.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell me what the fuck to do. Do not come to me and go, Hov, you can't do that. We don't think you can do that. You can fuck off. Because I pay my bills. I do my job. The only person who can tell me what to do is my mum and dad, and they never do. So you can fuck off.
Yes. I do love that thing that comes with age of, you know, that you just fuck off. Like, I've paid my bills. I've done, like you say, I've done my stuff.
Sorry, do you pay my bills? Do you do? No, you don't. Oh, you don't.
Yeah.
Well, there's door.
So I will do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
I remember this guy. So I don't smoke anymore, obviously. But when I did, I went to this little corner shop in London, and there was this guy in there, and I asked for whatever. I used to smoke Rollies.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, a packet of whatever it was. And he said, oh my God, do you smoke? And I looked at him. I was like, you know where you're like, just give me the fags and I'll just go, you know. I had my money ready, and he was like, he wanted to tell me off about it. And I just looked at him and I thought, who are you?
Also, he's in the wrong profession. He's fucking, if they're expensive, he's out. It's your shop, mate. Like, come on.
I want to sell the fags.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just, I'm just things like that. Because I would never presume to tell somebody else what to do and how to do it. And what, I mean, it's not my job.
No.
It's not my place.
No.
If somebody asks my opinion,
well,
I will try and be as honest as I can.
Well, that is very helpful for dilemmas. just before we go on to that, probably a very random question that's hard to answer, but what has been your favourite acting job to date? I know that's really hard. Because
that is hard.
So many jobs have different elements.
They do. Because there's the job that you always wanted when you were at drama school that you thought you'd probably never get.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So, you know, I don't know. The first time I got a job at the RSC, I was like,
oh my God, yeah. I'd shit myself.
You know, and I did. And I just felt like a totally inadequate.
But also, that's like the proper actor job, isn't it?
I was like, oh my God, people here know what they're doing and I don't. and I'm just going to have to. So I used to sit there quite quietly for a long time and just listen.
Yeah.
And then one day you kind of go, oh, okay, hold on. Hold on a minute. And because you have to find something for yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
So there's something like that.
Yeah.
But then the first time you do like a film, the first time you do a...
I've never done a film, you know.
So the first time I did a film was Thunderbirds. It was really big. Thunderbirds movie.
Did you?
So I'm in it. I don't say anything, but I'm just there as the housekeeper. And it was amazing and fabulous and amazing people. And this is the first time I'd done something that was big budget. And you were like... Wow.
Yeah. This is how the other half lives.
Wow. Okay. And I had a tiddly part. Tiddly part. So I was just like.
But it's like next level, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember like going to see Carla Crome, my Bezzy. She was filming in America. She was doing Under the Dome. And I went on set with her. And I was working at Hollyoaks at the time.
Yeah.
And they have this like craft table, which is just full of any kind of food. And this is not like your lunch or your breakfast or anything like that.
It's just snacks and
it's just like everything. Like, and I was like, big up the Hollyoaks canteen staff, but we're not getting that.
Yeah.
We get biscuits at 11 and you're lucky if you get one before all the crew.
It's true. It's just a different life, isn't it? It's a different way of working. But then there's theatre jobs that I love that are, you know, they're always going to be special in my heart because of the people that you work with, the play,
and
the writing.
And you form these, like, really, like, that's
intense.
Why, intense. And that's why whenever I watch anything, like, you know, like Big Brother or a reality show or something like Love Island or whatever, and people go, they've only known each other a couple of weeks. I can relate to that.
Totally.
Because in our jobs, you are most likely spending hours and hours with those people, more than you've ever spent with your family or friends or whatever. Yeah. And I get it because you get so intense and they're your world.
And also, you've kind of got to be vulnerable and open with these people in a short space of time. Suddenly out of nowhere you're sharing deep shit. You know,
you're crying on a Tuesday at 12 o'clock.
And you're like, but I only met these people yesterday. And I'm like, I remember when my dad was like, and off you go and people chip in. And but because of that you create these, but then sometimes when that job finishes that they dissipate as quickly as well sometimes.
It's mad.
But out of nowhere then you might have a handful of people that you're going to stay friends with forever.
Definitely.
But that's the way it is. You can't be friends with every single person.
Oh God, no. You'd have millions of friends.
Yeah. I love my job. I used to be a science teacher.
Were you?
Yeah. And I
was just going to say, I did not know this.
I know.
So you were a science teacher?
I was a science teacher.
For what, secondary?
I started off as I taught in a college, in Bilston Community College, right? So I taught science there.
Ben is from Birmingham.
Oh, right, all right.
Work in Bilston.
No.
Not far away.
No, no. So I taught there for a bit, and I loved it. I am quite science geek in my other
like
half
science,
of my head.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to be an actor, and I just knew that I had to give it a go.
Yeah.
And if it didn't work, I could go back to teaching, but go back 100% instead of like 95.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that. I didn't want to wake up when I was 80 one day and think, oh, you didn't do that.
Definitely.
Because life is too short.
We have had dilemmas like that a lot. A lot of people go in.
I say to people, follow your heart, try
it. Just do it, yeah.
And I just thought, you know, if it don't work, I'll go back to being a teacher. I was a bloody good teacher and I loved it.
Because I think that there's...
I love this more.
There is something about being... Like, you have to be confident and expressive to be a good teacher, I think. And there's a lot of people, isn't there? Like, what's he called? Greg...
He
was a maths teacher.
Ramesh.
Wasn't he
a maths teacher?
He was a maths teacher as well. And so then I have heard a lot of people actually that have been teachers, and it must be that kind of like, you have to perform to a class, don't you, to get them to learn.
I think you do.
So.
Go on.
This is Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Yes.
So you have listened to this podcast.
I know what's coming.
So this is a game called Double Dares.
Yes.
I mean, I can't believe that fucking Double Dares have not sponsored us yet.
I know.
I've talked about it so much. They're a pound.
I've got an issue with Nadine for saying that you've got to chew it.
Yeah, so that's her new... I mean, let's all say that Nadine's a swallower because that's what she's asked us
in
to
it,
do.
Though.
So this is a game of Double Dares.
Yes.
The one thing that I will tell you is you can't have a blue one. Because someone came up with the rule that it's blueberry or toothpaste. Now, when has toothpaste been on the same level as snail or snot?
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, or cat food. It definitely hasn't.
So you've already put restrictions on it.
Yeah,
okay.
So there's no blue. There is green, red, brown, yellow or white. Ugh.
Now, fucking hell. Okay.
This one is colour or cat food. And
okay.
Cat food's bad.
Is it on three?
Yeah, one, two, three. It's me.
No, mine's quite nice. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. This is Jenny, 37, in Carlisle.
Hi.
Hi, Jess. I've only recently discovered your podcast, but I love it. Thank you, Jenny. I'm a fan already. My mum has been on her own for a while. Because my dad passed away when we were teenagers. She's gorgeous, funny, intelligent, and would absolutely blow any man away she met. She says she doesn't want to go on the dating scene because, in her words, she's knocking on a bit and nobody would want an old bag like me. I don't think she's scared of dating, though. I think she's just scared that she won't find anyone like dad. Should I keep encouraging mum to get out there, or should I accept that she doesn't want to date and get off her case?
That's a hard one, isn't it? Because a few years ago, I found myself telling my friend to kind of do something again all the time. And there's only one day I was just at home and I thought, oh my God, maybe I've come across as bullying her into...
Oh, right. Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
where's the line between the being line? Supportive
exactly.
and actually like
so
hounding?
So I know what Jen's saying there, because I had to then go and say to my friend, listen, you know what I've been saying to you? It's not like I want to go and do this. It's because I really think it would be lovely for you, but I don't want you to
think... And is that because someone
think...
had died or they'd left?
She'd been single for a long time. So I just was like, you must.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was single for 10 years before Michael.
And I've been single for probably about 12.
Yeah, because when we first met, I had not met Michael.
No, that's right.
So we used to have quite a few conversations about it. And obviously there is a difference in age in us, but the same like kind of thing. And I think...
Numbers in earth years only.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly though. Like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It is a really hard... I think it's
a
really
hard,
especially when someone's died.
Yeah.
Because, but she's saying as well, you know, I don't think she's scared of dating. I think she's just... And it's understandable to think, you know, I'm not going to find anyone like this. But it's that old classic, like... And it's a bit of a cliche, but I feel like, I don't know, if I was to be with Michael and I died in the next couple of years or early... I would definitely want him to find somebody
else.
Of
course.
Like, it would actually, I feel, upset me more if he didn't.
Yeah. And I think it's not that you are replacing that person, because you can't.
No.
And you never will. And if you are trying to, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
It's
just
not
like if you split up with someone.
You're not going to replace that person.
No.
It's somebody else to for companionship, for somebody to do, you know, loving things with. But
I would say,
and I'm not even talking about sex and stuff. I'm not just having a companion in life.
That's what I was just going to say. I would say, if you're right, look at your mum and look, has she got a healthy, good friendship group? Is she going out? Is she doing things at weekends? As you know, has she got a few female or male friends that are single? You know, is that part of her life enriched? Because like you just said, it's about companionship. You know, it's not just about, you know, having sex, and that's a big part of it,
of course,
and being touched and that, but it is, you know, actually once you get into a relationship, the biggest part of it is having that person to go, oh, I've done this today, or you know, I think
because I've been single quite a while now,
really
don't understand why, but anyway, that's another story. But
I will net, like, honestly, when I was single as well, I was in a collective of women, and I still have so many women
me
around
too.
Me where
me
I
too.
Go, how I the don't fuck
understand
are you single?
This. I don't understand this.
Mate, my friend Sarah, I will never ever understand why she's single. I don't get it.
You know, it's. I've actually forgotten what point I was going to make now.
So what I was saying was that if she's got a good friendship network around, like companionship.
I know what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? Absolutely. But sometimes, secretly is what I think, maybe some people, well, I'm not so secret about it, but I think some of my friends are. I have a group of friends and a lot of them are single, and we're in our 50s and whatever, and there's something wonderful about having your group of girlfriends and friends and that you can talk to and you can see and you can do things and all that. Yes, it's loving, it's gorgeous and everything, but sometimes there is there is something about having that special person, man or woman, who whatever, I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
It's about how... That is an intimate relationship.
Yeah, it's the next level, isn't it?
That your best friend ain't going to be able to give you.
No.
And that is something that maybe she could talk to her mum about.
Yeah, it is. It's like a next level. Like, you can have, like, I used to say that a lot when I was single. It was like, you know what? My life is so fulfilled. Mm. I've got all these friends I can do everything with, but, like, no one is touching me in that way.
No.
You know, I'd get to that point sometimes where I'd feel like, God, I've not been hugged
in that way.
Yeah, for a while.
Hugs from friends, but hugs in a different way.
Yeah, like, and even like in points of me like doing something in acting wise, of like having to kiss someone and go, oh fuck, I've not. Oh God, that's a feeling I've not felt for a while.
Seriously,
you know
what
I mean? I
know exactly what you mean.
But I don't know if you've watched the Kathy Burt documentary.
Yes.
Have you watched it?
Yes.
Have you watched the one where she's talking to the psychologist?
Yes.
The woman, and she says that actually, you know, as human beings, we need people to survive, but it's the friendships that keep us alive.
But, you know, it is that. You see, life can give, with your best friends, you can have all that. You can go out, you can do this, I can go on holiday, I can have a laugh. But actually, at the end of the night, sometimes you just want to come home from work.
Yeah.
Having been at work from bloody 7 o'clock till 7:30, and you don't get in till 8, you feel fucked, you feel a bit cross, you feel a bit, like, weepy.
Yeah.
And maybe you just want a glass of wine, and you want to come in and go, hello, and they're like, hello, babe. You know, it may be, but that is not
just that, like, hand on your leg,
and they kind of like, go, I'm running you a bath, and they're just gonna give you a hug, and you might have a bit of a snog, and you go, I don't really want to talk to you because I'm like sad. But like in 20 minutes, you're like, right, let's go for it. But you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
You're not
know
gonna
exactly
do that with
mean.
Your best friend, of course not.
I would
but
say
that is something you're gonna do with somebody you fancy and you love and or live with or just shag. Whatever. Who cares what the word is? But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say if it's your mum, like what you were saying about your friend, maybe gentle, like, you don't have to be like, mum, you have to find someone.
Yeah.
Just gently do it. Yeah. I don't know. Find a I know there's loads of different dating things, like there's Jenga dating now.
Yeah.
Go with your mum.
Yeah.
You know, go to these events.
And also kind of maybe just kind of go, oh, And trying to make it into a fun thing and not like a competitive. It's not about replacing anybody. No. That is never going to happen. There is that place in that person, your heart for that person.
Yeah.
But it's about looking forward and finding maybe somebody else that maybe you will have a different kind of fulfillment with.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Supporter. And
maybe talk to her like you would
your mate.
Your mate.
Yeah.
Because I think I learned that later in life to be able to talk to my mom more as a friend than your mom.
Yeah.
Because those are things we inherit, don't we? Well, we can't talk to mom about stuff like that. But actually, you know, now that I'm older and I do turn around and say to her, but mom, when you were 17, what did you think about it? My mom had a traditional arranged marriage and stuff, you know?
So talk
to your mom about it as you would your mate.
Definitely.
I think.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world and who want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers, and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week. Right, back to the episode.
Okay, we've got another name. We've got Chloe, 26, from London. Okay. Hi, Jess. You made me laugh so much on the podcast with Gabby Ellen, especially when you were talking about drama school and how you've always been surrounded by gay men.
True.
Hello.
Yeah.
Well, I went to drama school too, and I've always felt the same. It made me realise that I have a dilemma that I didn't even know about. I've been living with my gay best friend ever since we left drama school. I feel ya. And I mean, I'm living with Michael now. And we live beautifully together. We've got great system for crap stuff like the washing up and tidying. We like all the same TV programmes and we're bloody fantastic dinner party hosts. Oh my God, is this me? Like 10, a couple of years ago, writing in. Because he fills, in brackets, nearly all of my needs, I realised I haven't been on a date in nearly 2 years. I haven't even kissed a guy. My sister thinks I need to move in on my own, because even though he's wonderful, my gay best friend is subconsciously holding me back from finding love. So, do I follow her suggestion and try and find a place to rent on my own, or is she being a little overdramatic?
Is it Chloe? But what's Chloe want to do? I mean, like, why is she listening to what? What do you want
to
do?
Used to get this a lot because especially when I was in London, I used to work in a bar. And all my friends were gay, and I used to go to Two Brewers, big up the Two Brewers in Clapham, after every shift. And, you know, a lot of my weekends were in gay bars.
Yeah.
And I had the best fucking time of my life.
I know. And I live with two gay men now, and I go out a lot. And then, like, somebody said to me, yeah, but you're always out. And I'm like, but I don't go out because I'm going out with gay men. I go out because I'm going out with my friends.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Who they sleep with or whatever is not something I think about. It doesn't occur. That's not why I'm going out with them.
I'm a straight girl in a gay bar.
Yes.
There's not going to be just. And also, like, that's not just all of your part of meeting people.
No.
Like, Michael is the first straight guy I've ever lived with. I've only ever lived with gay men. And it was a dream.
Yeah.
For me, that the perfect combination of a man and a woman, there's never going to be confusion of, do you fancy me?
Mm-hmm.
Which I've had with a lot of straight guys before when you just tried to be friends. And I just think, I personally don't think that it ever stopped me from getting a relationship. If anything, my gay friends were on my dating apps telling me to, you know, be my wingman.
I know, and supporting you in that. And actually turn around going, ooh, what about him? What about him, Harvey? What about him? I'm like, oh, no. I don't think they're holding me back.
If anybody's holding us back,
it's me.
I think Chloe's sister's talking absolute shit.
I think Chloe's sister just should let her live her life, and she should live her life and let Chloe get on with it.
And she's obviously never had gay best friends by the sounds of it.
Because...
And she's never lived with a gay man.
My God.
Literally, I have a tattoo on my arm that I've, you know, imprinted there to gather gay friends, I think. It's something that I often get out when drunk in a gay bar. Like, look what I've done
for
you. Who does it... the guy that doesn't know me and have not had to go through any of the hardship you have. But look, I've got a rainbow.
Yeah. I know.
I do definitely think that this one is very simple. Do like what you said, Chloe, if you're happy living with your...
Because you know what the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if her flatmate is gay or not. Actually, if Clay doesn't want to go out and meet, you know, she's not in the right frame of mind to meet someone, she's not going to meet one if she's living with three girls.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or if she's living on her own, or if she's living at home, or if she's living with her sister. It's all where you are in that moment in your life at that time.
Yeah, you could say that I've been friends with girls before and been single and they've had a boyfriend and I've ended up third wheeling with them. Like, you could say that was... That's even more harmful because...
And in fact, if I go back to what we were saying and I think, oh, how do I relate that to my life? I'm like, I've been single for more than 10 years now. And some of that I was living with my friend Jen. Some of that I was living on my own. And now I'm sharing a house with two guys.
Who have the best... One of them is the best vegan chef.
Just round the bloody corner.
I've ever come across. So if people are listening...
And you want vegan, vegetarian food.
That is Michael friendly. That this Michael is... requests to go to.
I know.
Who
I know.
Would be one of those people like, vegans, what do they eat?
I know. Well, people who... I know people who've kind of gone, oh, no, I don't do that because I eat meat. Have gone there and actually not noticed that there was no meat on the menu.
Exactly. What's it... So it's at...
Chef Sean Paul.
Sean Paul,
really.
I can't
he's from Texas. He's at Rose Lane at the moment. So
and it's called,
it's
called Green Fork.
Green Fork,
yeah.
You can look him up. It's Green Fork.
I've been twice and he's amazing. His food's even more amazing. So
and he's my flatmate and I love him.
So Chloe, just keep living with your gay friend.
Do you know what, Chloe? What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I miss it.
Listen to your heart.
Sorry, Michael, but I miss it. So we're on to our next dilemma, which is Ryan from North Wales. Oh my God, Michael, North Wales. How much time do we spend in North Wales? Okay, cool. Anyway, hi, Jess. Let's get straight to it. Ooh. I don't want to have kids. Okay. Never have done. And I've always been honest with my wife about that. We talked early in our relationship about how she didn't want them either. But now I've changed my mind. And I told my wife the other day, she didn't respond well. She's just got a massive promotion and thinks that we have missed the boat age-wise. I asked my mum about this the other day, in brackets, we're really close, and she thinks it's a relationship deal breaker. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because especially if you've talked about it.
Definitely.
Because, again... To be boring, I'm going to relate it to my own life.
No, please, that's the best way. Because
I was... Okay, so now I've been single for a long time. But before that, I was going out with this guy and he had children. And we did talk about it. Obviously, I hadn't. And I'm a golden oldie. And so you get to a certain point in life where you start going, oh, shit.
This is not my path.
If I'm going to have babies, I need to sort this out now.
Yeah.
Or forget it, babes.
Which men don't necessarily have to deal with that, do they?
Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't grow up thinking I must have children to be complete.
No.
I didn't. I know for a lot of women it's really important, but for me it wasn't that important. But I had to make that decision. Do I stay with this chap and not have children? Because he'd had children and he didn't want any more children. But we had to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we did talk about it because it's important to. And if you've had that discussion... I had to have that. Yeah, I had to talk about it and be clear. He was very, 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 very clear that he did not want any more children. Therefore, I had to make that decision of whether I'm going to stay with this person and know that and never throw that back in his face again.
Yeah.
Because that is the responsibility I took.
Yeah.
I can't turn around and say in 2 years, oh, I want babies now and I know I said I didn't, blah, blah, blah. Because that was the basis, that was the foundation of the relationship.
I used to talk to people about dating in my 30s and how very early on I had to have that conversation with people where, and people were like, oh my, you know, in your 20s, that's scary. Oh, I want to have babies and all that shit. But when you're in your 30s and you're going on a few dates with someone and you think, oh, this is all right, it has to be a conversation.
Of course it does.
Because I need to know whether I want to carry on dating you.
Of course.
I could really, really like you, but... if I want kids and you don't, then that's a no for me.
Well, it has
like,
to be.
It has to be. And I've got friends that married really young, that both made that decision. I think one of them was maybe stronger than the other. Mm. And they're, you know, they were like 8 or 9 years on, and it's, you know, it's still their decision. Mm. And I think one of them might have been swayed, but it's their decision. Mm. I know people that have had that discussion, got married, the other ones changed their mind all of a sudden, and they've split up. I think it is a big thing, like what you said, is that, you know, if you've had a discussion and then one person changes their mind, you have to realise that commitment you made to each other before committing further.
Yeah. You can't throw that back in their face.
No, you can have, because I think you can have a discussion.
You can have another discussion,
you can go,
of course.
Oh God, I've changed my mind. And that person might go, oh, so have I. Or that.
Absolutely. I can look you in the eye and go, I know I said this 5 years ago, but yeah. I just feel like I really want a baby. Oh my God, I know that's.
But you can't resent them for it.
That's an honest discussion. I can still turn around and go, I still don't want a baby. But at least you're talking.
Yeah.
But you can't turn around and throw it in their face.
I think especially
because
that's
a bit shitty of you, and yeah. actually not taking responsibility for your own actions.
I think especially, I don't mean to be funny in this situation, but especially because it's the man turning around to the woman, because like he's just said, she's got a work promotion. We are the ones that physically change. We are the ones that have to give birth. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that.
No, but
you
know, it's true.
Afterwards, that you have to give up your job. But I'm saying that.
Well, you do for a bit.
Well, yeah. There's a point where you cannot work anymore.
You do.
When you're the man, you can continuously work. So this is a bigger question for her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Here's an option. If you want to talk to her about it and she's thinking about career, what about adoption?
Or what about he's the stay-at-home parent?
Yeah.
Lots of people do that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that in a situation...
It can be worked
out. I feel like me and Michael would do that. If I got a good acting job and that's what I wanted to do, I feel like that's the roles that we would take. My best friend Carla and Adam, that's the roles that they've just taken.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if she doesn't want to, you know, the adoption thing, if she doesn't want to physically miss out on that, you know, there's lots of babies out there. And
but some
children
people,
that need to
I
be
have,
home.
My one of my best friends has just never, ever, ever wanted children.
Yeah, I've got a friend like that as well.
And
yeah.
she's never gonna, and she never wanted to. And
people can't, minds are blown that women don't want to have kids. Like,
yeah. And I'm like, whatever you lot, fuck off, because you know, get over it.
Yeah.
We all have choices, and there are
just
choices.
Just because I've got a womb, I don't want anyone's home in
yeah.
it. Like,
now, you know, she never wanted to do that. I just never thought about it until a certain age. But, you know, then I made a decision to be with a certain person that was okay. But that was a decision I made.
And also different people. Like, I've known people to be with two people to be together and not want kids. And then they've split up and then another person has gone and had a kid.
Yeah. And to go full circle back to my first love, we went, oh, well, I don't want children. If you ever, you're going to have to deal with that on your own. Like, you know, 20 years later, turn around, rang me up, because we are still friends now, although, you know.
Yeah.
Who rang me up and said, I just want to tell you that I'm going to have a child. I was like this. And for a moment there, I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because it was a complete, you know.
But it's situational, isn't
it? Life changes, and life isn't black and white.
Yeah.
And life moves on, and what we say in our 20s completely changes in our 30s to what we're in our 40s. And by the time you get to 50, you don't give a fuck. So, you know.
I would say in this situation, everything that we've said, and also, listen, people's minds can change. A conversation definitely should happen.
We're all entitled to change our mind.
Yeah. Conversation should happen. If you really feel that that is something that you can't live without, then that's when your relationship needs to be questioned. The end.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Harvey, so much for being...
Thank you. I've had a brilliant time.
Thank you for being a guest on...
I love talking, though, as you know.
I love talking. I love talking. I'm a nosy bitch.
Me too.
I love gratification for people telling me that I'm right.
I want to know everybody's business. I want to talk about my business and share my business with everybody's business. It's great.
Exactly. So, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you.
If you have liked this, please give us 5 stars. Subscribe, rate and review. It boosts us in the charts. It makes people listen to Harvey's advice. It makes people listen to my advice. So please just do it. And thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Vagina Monopod.
Hello and welcome to the Vagina Monopod.
Woo!
I'm an actress, Sasha Parkinson. You may know me best from shows like Mr. Selfridge or My Mad Fat Diary. I feel like I'm reeling off my IMDb.
CV. I am Molly Wright. I am also an actress. What have I done?
The A word.
The A word.
Apostasy.
Bit of Our Girl.
Our Girl.
Apostasy.
Forgot about that.
2 weeks of Our Girl.
A little backstory as to how the Vagina Monoblogs came about. As a person anyway, I've always been quite open, especially from about 16, 17. I just kind of then couldn't shut up about periods. I'd happily tell anyone I was on it. I didn't really shy away from talking about myself in that way. I was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2016. And then that kind of just spurred me on really to be more vocal on social media about menstrual health. We are not medical experts, but we will be getting
really
people.
Not.
No, we're really not. But we will be having the experts on. So if you have any questions you'd like answering, please get in touch and send them over to the Vagina Monoblogs on Instagram. We hope you join us for the next 10 episodes of more menstrual health discussion.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Vaginas!
The Vagina Monopod from Sound Rebel. Search for it now on your favourite podcast app.